Thanks for checking out this week's message. I hope that it's helpful for you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Here at Restore, we are a place where anyone can have a seat at the table and everyone can experience the extravagant love of Jesus. So I hope you walk away from this message knowing that you are deeply loved by God and that you can be fully loved by a church community. And if you don't have that, we would love to connect with you here at Restore. You can go to restoreaustin.org to find out more.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. So good to see you all today. We're all in here together, all the kids. And I love Sundays like this where we all get to kind of worship together as a community. It's so important for kids to see other people in their community worshiping God and witness that relationship. And I think for us adults, it's also so important to sometimes see Jesus through the eyes of a child. And sometimes that'll be a squirmy child, a loud child, but that's totally okay. So I just invite us all to embrace that this morning. So as Zach mentioned earlier, we will be celebrating communion together today. And from now on, we're going to start celebrating it on the last Sunday of every month. So yay, got some snaps from Tiffany up here. In the past, I have experienced communion in kind of two different ways. Sometimes it's felt like more of an outward signal of a level of spirituality that you've kind of achieved. Sometimes that happens in certain congregations that I've been a part of. But sometimes it's also been a very personal conversation that really left me feeling grateful and just kind of renewed in a way. So I'm sure in this room, we all have varied experiences or feelings connected to communion. Whether you're someone who comes from a tradition that does communion every week, very rarely, or you don't have a background in it at all, I invite you to come and sit at the table. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is invited. I'm going to explain briefly what communion is in a kid way and how it started, and then Zach will come back up and talk. So in this process of explaining this to the kids, I hope that we as adults might discover or hear a new way or another piece of Jesus's heart on this practice and why he encouraged his followers and us to continue it. So kids, I'm talking to you now. So this is how communion starts. Jesus knew that his time on earth was coming to an end, but he wasn't finished teaching his friends everything that they needed to know. So Jesus planned a special meal with 12 of his closest friends. He called them disciples. Disciples are just people who follow Jesus, and anybody who follows Jesus is a disciple, including you and me. Anyway, Jesus decided to have a last meal with his disciples, and we call this the Last Supper. So kids, if you were going to have a big meal and invite all your friends, what is something that you would serve? What kind of food would you serve? What? What was that? Hamburgers. Pizza. What else? What would you serve? Hot dogs. What? Would I hear something down here? Taco Bell, yes. Okay, I don't know if that's, is that a kosher Texas answer? So we would serve, okay, what, Vivian? Toast, okay. And way back there, yes. What do you say? Vegetables. Okay, I guess we need to talk to his mom and dad and figure out what they're doing, because I'm not doing that at my house. Okay, no, great, that's great. Vegetables are good for you. Okay, so Jesus planned this special meal, and he decided to have this Last Supper. Jesus wanted to spend this time with his friends because he needed to tell them some things. He had to give them a heads up, kids, and let them know what was going to happen. And he wanted them to know that even though he was going to leave this earth and wouldn't be there physically with them, that they could still be close to him. Jesus did a few things, and he told a few stories during this dinner to try to help his followers understand. So let's watch this short video and look at the story of the Last Supper.
Me. Anyway, during the meal, Jesus went to get a big bucket of water and a towel and knelt on the floor. He started washing the disciples' feet. Back then, people walked around on muddy roads without shoes or wearing sandals. They probably stepped in a lot of dirt and camel poop. And now, Jesus was kneeling right next to their sweaty, dirty, stinky, poop-caked feet. It might sound like Jesus hated dirty feet. And even though dirty feet can be pretty gross, especially if you've just stepped in camel poop, Jesus was actually teaching his disciples how to act like him. See, Jesus came to earth so he could serve other people, even if that meant lowering himself and scrubbing other people's feet. That's how important he thought serving was, and Jesus wanted his disciples to show people how he would act, even when he wasn't living on earth anymore. Well, after that, Jesus had some more to teach his friends. Jesus knew the disciples might have a hard time always acting like him. So Jesus told them he was going to send a special helper called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would show Jesus' friends how to act like him and would someday help everyone who follows Jesus. After the exciting news about the Holy Spirit coming to help everyone, Jesus started teaching his friends how to always stay close to him. So he taught the disciples how to pray. He showed them prayer is really just talking to God, and it's one of the easiest ways to stay close to him. Remember, kids, Jesus loves all of us so much that he wants us to stay close to him, just like his disciples. Staying close to Jesus doesn't just mean knowing stuff about him. It means knowing him as a friend by talking to him, listening to him, and showing that we love him by obeying what he teaches. Jesus explained this by talking about a plant. First, he said that he is like a grapevine growing in a garden. His friends, that's us, are like the branches. God is like the gardener who comes out and helps make sure those branches are healthy and strong, growing juicy, delicious grapes. Think about what will happen if a branch falls off of a grapevine. It's not going to be able to grow any grapes laying on the dirty ground. Instead, spiders and ants will come live in it, people will step on it, and it might become a bathroom for birds. So basically, we, the branches, need to be connected to Jesus, the vine, if we're going to be healthy disciples. That means we should talk to Jesus, listen to him, and obey him, even when we don't feel like it. We have to stay close to Jesus to be his followers.
Okay, so Jesus did a lot of things to try and help his followers understand how to stay close to him, because he knew that he would be leaving earth soon and he would be dying on the cross. Jesus had come to earth to show us and to tell us what God's dream for us was, that everyone would help each other, that there would not be any more sadness or hurt in the world. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he beat sadness and death for good. But he knew his followers might be confused or scared when he went to the cross, and Jesus wanted to give them a way to remember that he is always with them. So Jesus took a piece of bread and a cup of wine at a table, and he said to his friends, "When you eat this bread and you drink this wine, do this in remembrance of me." Or, "Remember me when you do this." Jesus made a ritual, a practice, something for his followers to do over and over again so that they could remember him and God's dream. Jesus called this communion. The bread and the wine are symbols, and they remind us of who Jesus is and what he did for us. So Jesus went and died on the cross, but 3 days later, he came back to life again. And after that, the power of sin and death were broken. Because Jesus is alive, we know that God won and sin lost, that life won and death lost, and that we get to be with our friend Jesus always and forever. So this is the tricky part. Although this was true, Jesus knew that this would not happen right away. He knew that after he died on the cross, his friends might say, hey, sometimes it doesn't feel true yet. It doesn't feel like everyone loves each other and everyone's kind to each other. But Jesus wanted them to know that it will be. Things will be good and no bad and all happy and no sad. But until they are, we get to be on God's team to help make that more true for people right now living on earth. Communion is like a big family meal. It's a way for all of God's family, everyone on God's team, to be together and remember God's dream for us and to look towards the future where the world matches God's dream. And we remember that we can serve and love others and help this dream come alive today. So I have one more video for you that's going to do a really cool explanation of communion, and then Zach will come back up and lead us out.
Communion isn't a snack, even though someone might give you a piece of bread or a cracker and some grape juice. Communion is a ritual. That's a fancy way of saying it's something we do over and over. Blowing out birthday candles is a ritual. Having a game night could be a ritual. Opening stockings at Christmas is a ritual. Having a movie night with popcorn is a ritual. Every group has different rituals, and the family of God has the ritual of communion that reminds us that Jesus died for us because he loves us. This ritual is very special, and Jesus created it while thinking about you, because you matter to him.
Like Sonia said, communion is this big family meal that God's family has been celebrating together since the time of Jesus. And I kind of want us to pause for a moment and just like take that in, like receive that for a second. For thousands of years, billions of people have come together around tables to partake in this ritual across every part of the globe. And we do this because the communion table is sacred in our faith, but also because the table has kind of always been at the center of human life. Since the beginning of time, we've been gathering around tables, right? To eat, drink, share conversations, and tell stories. The table transcends time, place, culture, and language because it's this indispensable part of our everyday lives. I love the way that Shauna Nyquist describes it in her book, Bread and Wine, A Love Letter to Life Around the Table. She says this, "We don't come to the table to fight or to defend. We don't come to prove or to conquer, to draw lines in the sand or stir up trouble. We come to the table because our hunger brings us there. We come with a need, with fragility, with an admission of our humanity. The table is the great equalizer, the level playing field many of us have been looking everywhere for. The table is the place where the doing stops, the trying stops, the masks are removed, and we allow ourselves to be nourished like kids. We allow someone else to meet our need. In a world that prides people on not having needs, on going longer and faster, on going without, on powering through, the table is a place of safety and rest and humanity when we are allowed to be as fragile as we feel. Not only is the table sacred in communion and a central part of human life, it is a recurring theme throughout all of Scripture. In fact, the most popular biblical metaphor used to describe God's family and God's kingdom is people gathered around a table. Rachel Held Evans captured this truth so perfectly when she wrote, "This is what God's family, God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more." Scripture also describes the moment when Jesus comes back to finish this work of restoration and this huge party happens centered around a banquet table. Beth Moore looks forward to this day with these words, "One day all of us in Christ will sit around an enormous table, exquisitely set with a feast of rich foods prepared in divine kitchens. No one will be left out. No one will be alone. No one will be nameless. No one unknown. No one with nowhere to go. We will finally be home." Now I, like I know so many of you, look forward to that day. But until then, We are going to be pulling up chairs around Jesus' table here at Restore, doing everything we can to make sure that anybody who wants a seat has one, and that everyone can experience the extravagant love of Jesus. Now, today marks a decision that we've made to be more intentional with how and how often we celebrate communion together. This is actually a direct result of dozens of conversations that our staff and leadership have had with you all. The consensus over the last year has been that our church family would like to celebrate communion together more. I love that. Now, I know that we all have different backgrounds when it comes to this. But whether you are someone who comes from a tradition that did communion every week, very rarely, or you have no experience with it at all, I really think today is going to be meaningful. So I'm really glad that you're here. Starting this morning and moving forward, we'll be celebrating communion together as a church family, as Sonia said, on the last Sunday of every month. So for the rest of 2023, that'll be November 26th, and then Christmas Eve morning. We'll have a 10 a.m. service on December 24th. Now, but before we actually do communion, I want to talk a little bit more about what it is and where it comes from. Like so many parts of Christianity, communion has its roots in Judaism. On the night before Jesus was killed on the cross, he and his closest friends gathered around a table to celebrate the Passover meal. But during that meal, which we now call the Last Supper, Jesus changed the Passover for his followers. Passover was a big deal in the Jewish world. Each year, its arrival was announced by silver trumpets blown from the top of the Temple Mount that could be heard all over the city of Jerusalem. Passover looked backward to the time of God freeing his people from slavery in Egypt, but it also looked forward to the coming of a Savior who would free God's people from slavery to sin and death and pain. But unbeknownst to a lot of the world, this Savior Jesus was with them already. As Luke's account of Jesus' life says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus had eagerly desired this Passover because he knew that this one would change everything. The Savior that has been anticipated for thousands of years was finally here, ready to set people free. The Passover meal always consisted of the same bread and the same wine and the same rituals. The people of God had been celebrating their freedom from Egypt the same way for thousands of years. But on that night, Jesus changed things for his followers, for us. Back to Luke's account. It says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, as I said, bread and wine were featured prominently in the Passover meal. The bread symbolized God's daily provision for his people as they wandered through the desert, and the wine represented the joy of finding the promised land at the end of that journey. But around the table that night, Jesus changes the elements as well. He says that the bread now represents his body, and the wine now represents his blood. He doesn't say, remember the Passover. He says, remember me. That's why Jesus says this cup is the new covenant. Jesus was doing something new in this moment. Jesus is making a reference here to Jeremiah 31, where God said a new covenant was coming. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. And this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. This new communion represents this new covenant. This new agreement that God has that's not predicated on our performance for him. You see, if covenant was up to us, we always fall short. If covenant was up to us, we end up breaking it every time. But when God creates this new covenant, God says, not only am I going to uphold my end, but I'm going to uphold your end too. And that's Jesus putting on flesh and coming down to fulfill that part of humanity in the covenant. I think about it a lot like we shake hands when you make a covenant or an agreement, right? And you have God shaking humanity's hand kind of over and over again, but we just keep kind of pulling our hand back, you know? We keep being like, oh, I don't know. I think I want to do things my way. But then God puts on flesh in the person of Jesus, and God shakes God's own hand as Jesus bringing in our part of the covenant, this covenant that will be never, never be broken. And the wine around the table that night represents the blood that washes every sin away, and the bread represents the body that Jesus gives to give life to everyone. This is the gospel. It says the good news of Jesus Christ. And every time we gather around a communion table, we remember, celebrate, and proclaim this good news. Scholar N.T. Wright says it like this: it's worth noting that at the center of the spiritual lives of God's people in both the Old and New Testaments, we find a table. The table of Passover and the table of communion. Now, if you've been a part of Restore for even a short amount of time, you probably know the table is of central importance to us as well. Our vision is to be a place where anyone has a seat at the table and everyone experiences the extravagant love of Jesus. And communion is one of the ways that we make that vision a very tangible reality. And so I'm so glad that we're going to be doing it more regularly starting right now. The band is going to come back up. And as they do, I want to share some important instructions with you all about how we're going to do it today. And to be candid, I think this is how we're going to keep doing it, but we're going to keep trying stuff, you know? We're going to see how it goes. So, first thing I want to point out, communion is for everybody that wants to participate. Communion is for everybody that wants to participate. See, Jesus made it clear over and over again that anyone has a seat at his table and everyone can experience the extravagant love and resurrected life of Christ. Whether it's your very first time at communion today or your 1,000th time, this table is open to all people. But you don't have to. If you don't want to receive communion today, that's okay. When we dismiss to the tables in a second, you can just stay in your chair. That is totally fine. I promise no one's going to judge you. No one's going to condemn you. No one's going to give you weird looks. This is your faith journey, nobody else's. Also, if you're a parent in here, you are in charge of whether you would like your child to participate in this or not. That is 100% your call, and we will support you, however. Number three, if you're gonna take communion today, here's how it's gonna work. When I finish giving instructions, walk up to one of these four people that will be up here at these tables, and they're gonna be giving out the elements. Grapes representing the wine, crackers representing the bread. Grab one of each of them and then head back to your seat and hold on to them. Don't take them just yet, because we're going to take them all together in a couple of minutes. Also, the crackers are gluten-free and vegan, so everyone can participate. Now, when everyone has elements and the song has finished, I will come back up and I will lead us through this time of communion together. Now, during that time, you can sing, you can meditate, you can sit, you can stand, whatever it is that you'd like to do until everyone is ready. Okay? Does that sound good? Give me a nod if that sounds good. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing, and you can come get the elements whenever you're ready.